Chapter 6.
I'm sorry, did you say they're slaves?
Naomi repeated as her mouth dropped open.
Yes,
Rebecca confirmed with a frown.
All of the Bighorn citizens are owned by grizzlies.
Owned?
Aliona murmured, and her violet eyes blazed with hatred. I took a few deep breaths to calm myself. Demi-human slavery had been outlawed in Rama for centuries. But for one group of demi-humans to enslave another race of demi-humans was sickening. Fuck no. Not on my watch. Sounds like it was time for some motherfucking dragon justice.
At first, Lord Cairo decreed the bears to just be of a higher status. He wanted the sheep to be our workers, but many of them dissented. They wanted to split city responsibilities evenly with the grizzlies.
What did he do to the ones who dissented?
Lyca asked as her furry gray ears flattened against her head.
Threw them into the pit,
the bear answered, with tears glistening in her eyes.
He made the others watch while his guards threw rocks at the dissenters until they all agreed to stop fighting it.
So does everyone have a slave? I asked. I wondered how she would answer my question if they all did, because that would mean she took part in the enslavement as well. Something told me she had too good of a heart to do such a thing, but I needed to be sure.
No.
Rebecca shook her head.
Many of us hate Lord Cairo and his rules, including me. He is a cruel man.
How did he get his position anyway? Nike asked as his silver eyes narrowed. He's clearly not a noble or a diplomat of any sort.
We had a kind leader, Lord Favel.
The female bear replied with a fond smile.
He treated everyone fairly, and he was always just. One day, someone robbed several homes of their food, and Lord Favel's guards' investigation led them to a man named Cohen, Cairo's father.
Why was he stealing food?
Aliona wondered.
Why not gold or jewels?
He was poor,
Rebecca answered with a shrug.
Most people would get a job, but he chose to steal. When he was brought before Lord Favel, he begged for forgiveness. He said he was only trying to feed his family.
Cairo. What did Lord Favel do?
He agreed to allow Cohen to work off his debt. He was sent to work for each of the family's businesses. He spent a few days working for the bakery, then the stonemason, and lastly, for the farmers.
Sounds pretty fair to me,
Ravi observed as she cocked her head in a bird-like gesture.
So what happened after that?
Cohen tried to find a job for a few days, but it wasn't easy. People didn't trust him anymore, and they didn't want to allow him to work in their shops. Within a week, he returned to his old ways.
He only tried to find a job for a week? I narrowed my eyes. That's not very long.
Cohen wasn't known for his patience. It was one of many things that made him a terrible person. Once Lord Favel's guards learned of the new string of thefts, Lord Favel told him to decide between losing his hand or losing his citizenship to Atherson and being banished.
Which did he choose?
Paulina asked, and all three dryads stared at Rebecca with wide green eyes as she told us the history of her city.
He never decided. While he was in the jail waiting for his time in front of Lord Favel, he fought with another prisoner. He killed the other man with his bare hands and nearly beat a guard to death. Lord Favel took his option away and sentenced him to death. Also sounds deserved,
Aaliyah muttered, and her long golden tail flicked with annoyance.
He seemed like a menace. He was. And as you can see, he didn't raise his son to be any better than himself. Cairo waited a few years to seek his revenge, but then he assassinated Lord Favel and assumed his role.
And no one questioned it? I raised an eyebrow. What about the true heir?
Lord Favel had not yet married when he was killed. He believed in waiting for love, rather than marrying for unity with another city. I always told him he should at least have a will in place, but I don't think it would have mattered with Cairo.
I doubt it, I muttered, and then looked at Rebecca again. Wait, How do you know so much about Lord Favel?
He was my cousin.
The bear demi-human took another shaky breath before she continued.
We were raised like siblings, and Favel fit in with my brothers and me perfectly. Once Cairo took over, though, he kicked us out of the palace.
How horrible!
Mariah gasped, and she glanced at the Sword of Light on Nike's hip with a look of despair.
I cannot imagine losing one of my sisters.
I knew she was thinking about Anya, her fellow sword spirit. Anya was the spirit of the Sword of Light that Nike carried. I wondered about the other spirits for a moment, and I realized each of the noble swords must have its own. I made a mental note to ask her later how many swords there were, because it might be helpful to know more of my fellow nobles later on.
It was quite devastating,
Rebecca said, as tears welled up in her russet eyes.
I don't want him to hurt any more of my family, but I can't let this continue. These poor sheep have lived in despair and under constant attack for too long. You must help them.
We will, I vowed, as I knelt before her and took her hand in mine. I, Lord Evan of Hatra, will ensure the safety and well-being of the citizens of Atheson.
Thank you, Lord Evan,
she murmured and closed her eyes.
Your words will bring great relief to our people.
Before I tear that grizzly to shreds, who should we be ready for? I asked, as I planned Cairo's punishment.
Yes, we need to know if Lord Cairo has gained any allies since becoming the Lord of Atheson, Nike agreed, and I knew he was strategizing our next moves as well.
I wouldn't say they are allies, exactly.
Rebecca frowned and tapped the arm of the chair with a long, clawed finger.
The rest of the peninsula follows his lead. Veta and Imonving have their own leadership, but they just do what Cairo says, so I'm not sure how loyal they would be in the case of a coup.
Hopefully not at all, I replied. Do they keep slaves too?
I'm not sure. We aren't allowed to go outside Atheson now, so I haven't been there since I was a child.
We'll have to go see for ourselves, I decided, and pressed my mouth into a thin line. If the entire peninsula was ridden with slave owners, I would be more tempted to follow through with King Rodion's ultimatum. It made me sick to think so many people were okay with owning another person like that. The image of Rofin's damaged horns flitted through my mind, and I wondered who or what had inflicted those wounds. Then a burning rage filled my chest as I thought about Rofin's daughter's words about the mean people. Had they abused her father in front of her? Or had their owners abused her too? Both thoughts made me want to pull Cairo's limbs from his body while all his slave-owning friends watched.
For now, we need to free the sheep demi-humans from the floating Valstrix spell,
Aliona reminded me as she gently interrupted my angry thoughts.
They won't be able to get out of it on their own.
Oh, gods, yeah. They've been held against their will long enough. I stormed out of the palace with the rest of my group right behind me, and then I stalked over to Cairo's air prison and eyed him for a moment. The bear demi-human glared down at me with pure hatred in his brown eyes, and I wanted to scoop them out of his head. My inner dragon roared in agreement, but I resisted because we needed to do things right to get Cairo out of his position of power. So I moved on to the bighorn demi-human I'd healed of his belly and leg wounds, and he floated above me with mixed emotions etched across his face.
Release,
Aliona commanded. The sheep floated easily to the ground, and he looked around in disbelief. He stood nearly 7 feet tall, and his cream horns curled around his face and behind his ears. His gray-brown hair looked like it hadn't been washed for weeks, and his body odor suggested he hadn't bathed in that time either.
You freed me,
he asked with wide brown eyes. I have a few questions for you, I replied. What is your name?
I am Shem, my lord,
the bighorn answered and bowed nearly to his knees, and I could hear his joints pop and creak as he lowered his large body. Well met, Shem, I said before he rose back to his full height to tower over me. What do you know of the laws of Rama? Despite Shem's enormous height, he cowered when he stood, and his shoulders rolled forward while his back slumped over.
I don't know much, my lord, the sheep stuttered. We aren't allowed an education, unless...
Unless what? I prodded, when he trailed off and looked around anxiously. No one will hurt you now, Shem. You have my word.
He means it, Shem.
Rebecca chimed in as she stepped forward to stand next to me.
Lord Evan is here to help you.
We aren't allowed an education unless our master family provides it,
the bighorn demihuman murmured.
Mine allowed enough for me to learn to read and write, so I would be of use in the market. You can't buy food at the best price if you can't read it.
I'm sorry for what you've experienced at the hands of Cairo, I said, and a gasp rippled through the crowd as I deliberately dropped his title from his name. The laws of Rama strictly forbid slavery.
They do.
Shem chewed on the inside of his cheek for a moment.
But Lord, Cairo said he makes the laws, and we have to follow them or face the consequences.
Consequences,
Aliona spat out, and her beautiful porcelain face twisted with rage.
For being living creatures trapped by a cold-hearted bastard. It's a disgrace to everything our king has built, and Cairo is no king.
So, we don't have to continue this way?
Shem asked, as he straightened up hopefully.
We can be free.
Yeah, you are free as of now. How many of you are there?
I'm not sure, my lord, he replied with a frown. Most of the bear families have at least one servant.
This way of life is not that of a servant, Nike said, and even his silver eyes were alight with anger. Servants are given the things they need, and they aren't beaten for misbehavior. It's a job, not a sentence.
So, we are not servants?
Shem's face twisted with confusion.
No. What Cairo has done here is slavery, not servitude,
Aliona replied before she looked around and released the other sheep from the spell.
I'm so sorry to have trapped you like this. We simply had to investigate what was happening.
The other sheep nodded their understanding and scattered among the crowd. What started this fight anyway, I wondered.
Cairo discovered Rofin escaped the city. He was rather angry about the escape, but he was even angrier that several of us had assisted in their plan.
So his response was to have the guards beat you? I growled.
Well, originally, our punishment was to be dropped into the pit,
the demihuman shrugged.
But we decided enough was enough. Rofin's children were in danger by their master, and we had no choice but to help them escape.
What do you mean?
Aliona demanded as I searched the crowd.
Why were the children in danger?
Their birthday is next week, he explained. When the children turn 7, they must be put to work. The masters can choose to keep them or sell them.
As Shem spoke, I noticed a male grizzly stoop down and try to creep away from the rest of the onlookers. You! I called out and pointed to him as he froze in place. Get over here. The bear demihuman stood back up and painted a look of confusion on his face as he pointed to his chest.
That was Rofin's master, Shem nearly whispered. He used to beat Rofin for hours. One time, he nearly ripped a horn from his head.
I don't know what this man speaks of, the grizzly stammered. I know nothing of this Rofin.
I will not tell you again to come forward, I snarled. As the bear hesitated to respond, the sheep in the crowd grabbed him by the arms and began to drag him closer to me. He dug his heels in the dirt and howled his innocence, but they pushed and pulled him until he tumbled forward out of the crowd and landed at my feet.
My humblest apologies, my lord,
the bear groveled as he stayed low to the ground.
I did not know about the laws of the king.
Ignorance is a fool's excuse, I hissed, before I grabbed his collar and lifted him into the air. You're lucky you didn't have a chance to hurt those girls, or this would be a much longer death.
Death?
He gulped. Indeed, I confirmed, as I lifted the sword of Hatra. Then I swung the blade in a wide arc and sliced through the bear's torso, and his bottom half dropped to the ground as I held his bleeding top half high in the air. The crowd erupted into cheers and screams, and I waited until they had calmed down enough to hear me. This will be the result of anyone who tries to defy my orders to end slavery today, I declared, and was met with more cheers. On behalf of King Rodion, You are all free! The sheep bleated their excitement, and the cacophony was so loud I thought I might go deaf. The bears grumbled in both frustration and happiness, depending on which side of the slavery fence they had been on, while the guards cursed and gave me hateful stares.
You can't do this! Cairo screamed as he struggled in the air above me. I am the lord of this city! You have no right!
You have the balls to bring up who has rights? I thundered, before I glanced over my shoulder at Aliona. Let him out!
Are you sure, my lord? We shouldn't kill him. We need to speak with my father.
Oh, I won't kill him. He might wish I had once I'm done, though. Aliona nodded and released the former bear leader from the spell. His fall was not as kind as that of the sheep's, and he crashed to the ground with a grunt before he clambered up to his feet.
You cannot walk into my city as though you own it,
he grumbled and brushed the dirt from his robes. I can and I have, I shot back with a malicious grin. Now you'll get a taste of your consequences. Before he could respond, I called on my Terra magic, and a whirlwind of dirt erupted from the ground underneath Cairo and surrounded him like a rich brown glove. As the fingers squeezed his body, he gasped for air and pounded his fists against the enchanted soil, but my magic held tightly. Then I closed the gap between us and dragged my sword along his cheek, and the blade left a thin line of his red blood that dripped down into his beard.
You're against slavery, but yet you torture a fellow noble,
he sneered.
Some lord you are.
While we're on the subject of torture, I said, before I hissed into his ear. Tell me about the pit.
I don't know, he stuttered as his eyes glanced around wildly.
No one is coming to help you. The guards are still trapped, and the people hate you. Cairo's eyes traveled over the crowd. They stared at him with pure loathing evident in their faces, and his eyes widened again as he seemed to realize I was right. No one would help him. Now that they had a chance to be free, any loyalty or compassion had dissipated. Finally, his gaze returned to me, and his sneering smirk dropped down into a thin line. I grinned as I reached out and laid one hand against his shoulder, and as the bear looked down at my hand with confusion, a bolt of lightning cracked from the sky and connected with his arm underneath my hand.
Gods!
Cairo screeched as the electricity coursed through his body. And there's plenty more, I murmured, after the first round of lightning finally stopped. Tell me about the pit.
I can't,
he gasped.
I won't.
You're making a mistake, Cairo,
Aaliyah hissed as she bared her fangs.
Lord Evan has many ways of getting information from you.
Easy ways and hard ways, I added. And I'd enjoy the hard ways much more. Cairo pulled his lips into a thin line and furrowed his brow. So, he wanted to be the tough guy now. More lightning, then. I called on my lightning power again and conjured another bolt that crackled from the sky. The white line zigzagged down and poured electricity into the bear's body, and he shook violently and screamed in pain until I stopped the lightning again.
Gah! Fine!
He bellowed after a few deep breaths.
I'll tell you.
I'm waiting, I rumbled.
The pit is covered by a grass patch,
Cairo finally responded.
I don't care how you hide it. Where is it? What do you use it for? It is a consequence of disobeying the laws of Athison,
he muttered, and then pointed to the back corner of the square across from the palace.
Over there.
You don't get to create laws for your city that override the laws of the king, I said, and I had to dampen the familiar heat building in my chest.
Especially not laws that hurt people. They only got hurt if they didn't obey,
Cairo scoffed.
That's not true,
one of the sheep from the crowd shouted.
Our masters could beat us for any reasons they pleased. You decreed it. I cannot speak for every master,
the former leader replied with an eye roll. Show me the pit, I ordered, before the sheep could respond. I needed to punish Cairo, but I didn't want the bighorns to be responsible for it, and they all looked about ready to slaughter him where he stood. So I pulled the Terra magic back enough to release the bear's body, and he fell to the ground in a heap. Then I used my web power to wrap the silky bindings around his hands behind his back.
"I suppose I don't have a choice," he muttered, as he shakily rose to his feet.
"No, you don't. Lead the way." Cairo stumbled forward and walked toward the corner of the square, and Aliona and Laika followed us over, while the others stayed behind to keep the angry crowd at bay. Finally, the bear demi-human stopped near the edge of the grass and gestured to the ground with his head.
"There, it's under the grass."
I looked over the area and almost missed the edge of a grassy cover, but I grabbed the end of the disguise and ripped it off to reveal a 12-foot-deep hole in the ground. The floor of the pit was covered with sharp rocks of all sizes, from pebbles to boulders, and the sides were dug out wider at the bottom, so there was no way for someone to climb out.
"This is what you do to people who don't listen to your stupid rules,"
Laika growled, and her furry gray ears were flat against her head as she shook with anger.
"You are a monster."
"I'm a leader. I do what I must to keep our city running. Thousands of cities don't enslave, abuse, or kill their citizens. I should throw you in here right now, but I have other plans for you. Instead, your mindless sycophants can go in here for their role in killing the bighorns outside your palace."
"I'll bring them over,"
Aliona said with a nod before she turned to face the imprisoned guards. She waved her hand in the air, and the grizzlies drifted over toward us as though they were balloons in the breeze. Then she allowed them to hover over the pit for a moment, and they all looked down at the rocky pit with looks of fear and despair.
"We only followed orders,"
one of them shouted.
"It was Lord Cairo,"
another agreed in a desperate voice. "Cowards," I roared.
"Each of you could have argued, chosen not to do something you knew was wrong. You could have led an uprising for the people, but you chose to participate in the deaths and destruction of those who should have had just as many rights as you. That falls on your shoulders."
With that, Aliona released them from the spell, and 24 grisly guards, including Gregorio, crashed into the pit below. I knew their armor would protect them from deadly injuries, but their landing wouldn't be pleasant. The guards growled, roared, and yelled as they hit the rocks and tumbled into each other, and I grinned in satisfaction.
"You can't treat my men like this,"
Gregorio bellowed from the bottom of the hole. "You'll learn soon enough," I smirked down at him. "I don't take kindly to hurting innocent people. Don't get too comfortable down there. You might have more masters joining you later." Gregorio's eyes narrowed as he glared at me, but he didn't say another word. Then I turned to Cairo and grabbed his ear to drag him back to the palace.
"What are we doing with him?"
Laika asked as she and Aliona followed me back to the square. "Let's see what King Rodion thinks we should do," I grumbled before I stopped to speak with Nike, Rebecca, and my other women. "Talk with the others about new housing arrangements. I have a feeling we have a lot of work to do here."
"Of course."
Nike dipped his head, and they spread out to talk to the citizens. I dragged Cairo by the ear into the palace and tossed him into a chair, and Aliona looked at me for a moment before she mumbled a few words to activate a binding spell. Violet tendrils of smoky magic dispersed from her fingertips and wrapped around the bear demi-human until he was strapped tightly to the chair. He tugged and squirmed under the bindings, but he only succeeded in lifting one chair leg from the ground. So I shot webs at each of the four legs to hold the chair down.
"You aren't going anywhere," I told him. "You might want to conserve your energy for whatever punishment the king decides to dole out for you."
Cairo scowled and averted his gaze to stare at the crackling fireplace.
"Let's step over here to call my father,"
Aliona suggested as she motioned toward the dining hall.
"I'll stay here and keep an eye on this one,"
Laika offered. "If he moves, just cut off a limb," I replied.
"Of course, my lord,"
the wolf warrior agreed and licked her chops.
"She can't do that,"
Cairo yelped.
"She's the leader of the Blue Tree Guild. She can do whatever she deems necessary. You know, for the city and all."
Cairo squeezed his eyes shut and then dropped his head to his chest while Aliona pulled the white jade hand mirror from her spatial storage. Then she murmured the words of the spell that would activate the communication portal to her father's own mirror. Within seconds, the reflective surface shimmered and waved until the image of King Rodion appeared in the glass, and his powerful presence seemed to pierce through the glass as his violet eyes peered into his mirror. The king's flowing white hair blew around behind his head, and I could tell the storm surrounding the breach had intensified. The black and purple clouds flashed with lightning, and the claps of thunder were loud even through the mirror.
Father, we have news,
Aliona announced, and she turned the mirror to face Cairo and give the king a view of the demi-human tied to the chair.
Well, I didn't intend for you to capture him, King Rodion chuckled, as the princess brought the mirror back to us. What exactly happened?
Over the next few minutes, we pieced together what we'd discovered about the slavery and abuse Cairo had allowed in Athassan since taking over as lord.
This Cairo person has written his own laws? Rodion roared, and slammed his fist on something next to him that cracked and shattered in the distance. And to bring back the slavery I myself abolished, I should hang this parasite. This is treason!
Indeed, I said with a nod. He killed the previous lord to take over the city and rule it his own way.
He killed Lord Favel, the king shuddered. He was a good man. What a terrible loss for the city. I wondered who had taken his place when I heard news of the challenge, but I didn't realize he'd been assassinated for his seat.
According to the woman who told us everything, the other peninsula cities are basically under his rule as well, I continued. He probably threatened to throw them into the pit where his guards currently await your sentence.
The pit?
King Rodion repeated with a raised eyebrow.
Yes, father. The pit is a large hole in the ground with lots of rocks. Rebecca told us sometimes the guards would throw more rocks at whoever had been put down in it.
Inhumane, he muttered. Like a pack of wild dogs. And you still think you can overcome this situation without the extreme measure I told you?
There's nothing to overcome, I replied. We're simply going to start over. I believe we should talk to the people and figure out who is the rightful heir to the lordship. If that person wasn't part of the slavery, he or she can take over with the pledge to the throne of Rama.
And what of Cairo? If we simply kill him now, it looks as though I'm avoiding his old edict challenge.
We can confirm with the other peninsula cities. If they all say Cairo is guilty of treason, then he can be put to death by law. You can stay completely neutral, father.
Rodion rubbed his chin in thought as he considered the princess's suggestion. Let us investigate there first, Your Eminence, I offered. You can consider the options while we work. We have much to do here in Athassan, and I imagine it could be a similar situation in Veda and Imunving.
Very well. Find out everything you can about what this leveretter has done, and he will be punished justly.
As you wish,
Aliona murmured.
I'll speak with you soon, the king said before he gave a quick wave and ended the call.
The mirror soon showed our faces again, and we looked up as the front door creaked open. Rebecca and the dryad strode in the door, and Aliona and I met them in the front hall. What's wrong? I asked.
The people are getting restless. They want to know what's going to happen to Cairo.
I'll come explain everything. We just spoke with the king, and we have a plan. First, we need to free everyone who has been held under Cairo's slavery rules. Let's go outside. I started to walk out the door when the bear demi-human's voice stopped me.
Lord Evan?
Rebecca tapped on my shoulder, and I turned to face her.
Cairo kept his slaves locked up in the palace. I can show you where.
Let's go, I replied with a firm nod, and we followed Rebecca down the hall where our bedrooms were.
Down here?
Trina asked in confusion.
Cairo didn't want the slaves near him at night, but he wanted to be able to keep an eye on them,
Rebecca explained before she stopped at the first set of doors.
They're locked in these rooms.
The thump we heard earlier. It must have been one of the sheep.
Also explains why the rooms were so bare,
Polina pointed out.
Yeah, he didn't want them to have anything nice,
Marina said, with a note of sadness.
And we nearly left them here.
Not today, I grunted before I kicked open the first door. Inside, four bighorn demi-humans cowered in the corner of the room. The females didn't have the large horns like their male counterparts, but they still had the large muscular builds and deep brown eyes.
What's going on?
One of them asked in a shaky voice.
You have been freed,
Rebecca replied with a smile.
Come on out. Join the others.
The sheep didn't have to be told twice. They scurried from the room and ran down the hall away from the rooms. I continued to break down the doors and free the sheep until we reached the rooms we'd been assigned. When it was all said and done, at least 24 of the demi-humans had been released into the city. I stalked back out of the castle and into the square where the sheep reunited with friends and family as their tears poured down like rivers. While their happiness was worth all the trouble so far, I knew there was much more to be done in this city. I had to find out how many more families kept these people hidden away to do their bidding. I was going to free every last one of them.